الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ياسين والقرآن الحكيم، إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم. تنزيل العزيز الرحيم، لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Dear respective brothers and elders, we were discussing Surah Yasin and Alhamdulillah through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were able to discuss why this surah is called Surah Yasin. And we also discussed that this surah is a Makki surah. And I mentioned few fadail and virtues with regards to Surah Yasin. So we understand the importance and its significance, and we try our best to connect ourselves with this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially with this surah, this chapter, Surah Yasin. This surah is so virtuous and it's so full of barakah that in the past, our pious predecessors, whenever somebody would come to them with a problem and they complain about something in their life that they are going through, they would always encourage their disciples to recite Surah Yasin in order to repel the difficulty that they are facing in their life. Even in the marakis of Da'wah and Tabligh, our pious predecessors used to encourage people to recite Surah Yasin 40 times, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would always help them and push away the difficulty that they are going through. Some ulama have mentioned that if you are traveling somewhere and you miss a street or you get lost, and for some reason your GPS is not working, then you can recite Surah Yasin, inshallah, through the barakah of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you on the right track. Hakim al-Ummat, Mujaddidul Millat, Manana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that whoever is afflicted with an illness which is detrimental, or somebody is in extreme pain, then he should write Surah Yasin and drink that utensil, put water, and try to drink that water. Or he should put a string with Surah Yasin and hang it in his neck, or he should put Surah Yasin in his pocket. My brothers, we should be able to understand until now that this surah is full of barakah. And like I mentioned last week, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that this is the heart of the Quran. And it was the wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we all put this surah and commit to our memory and try to memorize this surah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the wish and desire that every believer and every person, individual from his ummah, memorizes this surah, which is the Qalbul Quran, the heart of the Quran. If you look at this chapter begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If you open your Mus'haf, it does not start with Ta'awwudh, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Similarly, the Quran does not begin with A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. It begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. From the tajweed and qiraat perspective, you should recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, because in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. When you intend to recite Quran, then pray A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. And after A'udhu Billah, you pray Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the masahif and the Quran that exists today in this day and age, which is called the Masahif on the Rasmi Uthmani. In these Masahif, the Quran starts with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The ulama have mentioned many wisdoms behind it, but I will only suffice on one inshallah, that ulama mentions that whatever uloom and knowledge that exists in all the divine books that were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the conclusion of all those knowledges and Quran, knowledges and uloom is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever Quran has, whatever uloom and knowledge Quran has, it is summed up in Surah Al-Fatiha. And whatever knowledge Surah Al-Fatiha has, it is summed up in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And that is concluded in the Ba of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And whatever that the Ba has is concluded in the dot of Ba. And the dot is one that refers to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the fundamental creed of every single believer. This is why one great scholar by the name of Hakim Sunai rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that the Quran starts with Ba and the Quran ends with Seen, meaning Bas. Bas means enough, meaning this Quran is enough for the guidance of the entire humanity. And Hazrat Maulana Abrar Ahmad Sahab Dulyawi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that this is the claim of Hakim Sunai rahmatullahi alayhi. I will present a proof for this. And he says that flip the word Bas and the Bas will become Sab. Sab mean all, meaning all. This is referring to all the uloom and whatever science that exists throughout the world is present in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Yasin. The first verse of the Quran is, this chapter is Yasin. There are so many different opinions with regards to Yasin, that what is Yasin? One opinion is the Yasin is the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in Ma'ariful Quran that Sa'id ibn Jubair rahimahullahu ta'ala was of this opinion, that this was the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If we take this opinion, then with this we understand the lofty status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you study the entire Quran, nowhere in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his name by saying Ya Muhammad, Ya Ahmad. Perhaps he addresses people. He addresses people, other Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, with their names. And he says, Ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. He addresses Nuh alayhi salatu was-salam, Ya Nuh uhbit bi salamin minna. He addresses Zakariya alayhi salatu was-salam, Ya Zakariya, inna nubashiruka bi ghulamin ismuhu Yahya. He addresses Yahya alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, Ya Yahya, khudil kitaba bi quwwa. He addresses Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu wassalam. Wanadaynahu an ya Ibrahim, qad saddaqta ar-ru'ya. He addresses Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, Kalimullah. He says, Wama tilka bi yaminika ya Musa. He addresses Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, Ya Isa ibn Maryam, a anta qulta linnas. But when it comes to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not use his name, but rather he uses his title. And he says, Ya ayyuhal Rasul, Ya ayyuhal Nabi, Ya ayyuhal Muzzammil, Ya ayyuhal Muddathir. Sometimes he says Taha, sometimes he says Yasin. This is to show the lofty status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rank he holds in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khuda se to kam sab se ala, do alam se bala mere Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the poet says in the Arabic language, la yumkinu thana'u kama kana haqquhu. The reality is that one cannot do justice to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in praising him. And the climax, one poet says, the ba'daz khuda buzurg tui qissa mukhtasar, that in conclusion, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who is the most high is yourself, O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this is the first opinion. The Yasin is the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second opinion of ulama is that this Yasin is in the language of Tay. And the language of Tai was actually an ancient dialect of Arabic called Qahtan. And the great person, the paragon of generosity, Dawud al-Tai, was also from this tribe, Banu Tai. So the language of Banu Tai, Yasin, is a shorter version of Ya Insan. Ya Insan. Ya Insan was actually Ya Unaysin. The tasghir of Insan is Unaysin. Ya Unaysin. And then Alif, Noon was dropped and Sin was left. Ya Sin. And some people say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying Ya Insan, O Insan, O Human, He is referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He's saying, O Insan. And some people, they say that no, Ya Insan is referring to every single human that came from Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam until the day of judgment. This is the second opinion. Then in the language of Tai, it means Ya Insan. The third opinion of the ulama is that Yasin refers to Ya Rajul, O Man. And the fourth opinion is Ya Sayyid al-Bashar, O the leader of humans. This refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. And Ibn al-Arabi rahimahullahu ta'ala says that I have heard Ashhab rahimahullahu ta'ala say that I asked Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala with regards to this name Yasin. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi said that this is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was the Imam Dar al-Hijra. He was a great faqih, a great alim, great scholar, and he was considered the imam of all the scholars that used to reside in Madinatul Munawwara in his time. There were many, many other scholars as well, and many scholars throughout the world were writing Mu'atta, their compilation of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala was also compiling this book called Mu'atta Imam Malik. And somebody came and informed Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala that, O Imam Malik, you are writing this book, Mu'atta, and many other scholars are also writing the same book. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi said to this person that whoever wish to write Mu'atta, they can write Mu'atta, but remember one principle and one thing, that in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book that is accepted is that book which is written with utmost respect and sincerity. And that book only remains in the world. Nowadays, if we look around the globe, thousands and millions of students read this book, Mu'atta Imam Malik. All the other Mu'atta, we don't find. Only one Mu'atta exists, that is the Mu'atta of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. There is another Mu'atta, Mu'atta Imam Muhammad, but that is also extracted from the Mu'atta of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. So in reality, there is only one Mu'atta, that is the Mu'atta of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. And Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was so great that in his time, if somebody was to go and ask a verdict and mas'ala and fatwa to another scholar, they would say that go and ask Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, ayufta wa malikun fil madina, is it possible for us to give a verdict whereas Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala is still alive in Madina Munawwara? Go and ask Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Malik was a great, great person. He used to say that Yasin. Yasin is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was also of this opinion, that this is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that it is not permissible for someone to keep this name, Yasin, because it is from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't know the right meaning of Yasin. So it is possible that Yasin contains some sort of attribution and quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is exclusively for Himself. Like how the name of Allah is Khaliq and Raziq. Khaliq is the creator. Raziq is the person who gives sustenance to to his creation. So these are names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not permissible for anyone to keep these names. You cannot keep this name Khaliq. You cannot keep this name Raziq. You have to say Abdul Khaliq, Abdul Raziq, Abdul Razzaq, and Abdul Rahim, Abdul Rahman. You cannot keep someone's name Rahim. In our society, a lot of people, they don't mention the first part. And they just say, the O Khaliq, O Raziq, O Razzaq. O Rahim, O Rahman, this is not correct. Because Khalik is the creator. Razik is the person who gives sustenance. So this person is not able to give sustenance and rizq to anyone. He is Abdul Razzaq. He is the servant of that being and that zat which gives sustenance and rizq to his creation. So Yasin similarly is a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh. So this is why he used to say that one should not keep this name Yasin. But other scholars, they say that Yasin, if it is written in a different way, meaning if it is written with Ya Alif, Sin, Ya Noon, Ya Alif, Sin, Ya Noon, then it is permissible to keep this name, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Salamun ala Ali Yasin. Salamun ala Ali Yasin. In some masahif, the qiraat is Salamun ala Il Yasin. But the other qiraat is Salamun ala Ali Yasin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does mention this name, that peace be upon the family of Yasin. This is why the ulama say that if you write Yasin in this manner, then it is permissible for you to keep this name. So you can keep this name Muhammad Yasin. So these are the five opinions. Number six, and this is the most preferred, and I would personally feel more sympathized towards this opinion of the scholar, that Yasin is from the Huruful Muqatta'at. Huruful Muqatta'at. These huruf have come in the beginning of many surahs in the Quran. If you study the Quran, in the Quran there are total 114 surahs, and with 114 there are 29 surahs. There are 29 surahs in the beginning of which huruful muqatta'at are mentioned. Alif Lam Mim, Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad, Taha, Yasin, Alif Lam Mim Ra, Alif Lam Mim Sad, Ta Sin Mim, Ha Mim. These huruful muqatta'at is mentioned in the beginning of 29 chapters of the Quran out of 114. Muqatta'at is made from qatta'a yuqatti'u taqti. The meaning of taqti is to cut, to separate, to detach. These letters are called muqatta'at because these letters are also separated and they are read separately. They are read separately. You cannot join them. Alif, Lam, Mim. You cannot say Alam. You have to say it separately. Alif separately, Lam separately, Mim separately. This is why these huruf and letters are called huruful muqatta'at, severed letters and separated letters. Now if you think about it, then these letters, huruful muqatta'at, they are of different types. Some of them have one letter. For example, Qaf, some Noon, some have two letters, Yasin, Taha, some have three, Alif Lam, Mim, Alif Lam, Ra. Some have four, Alif Lam Mim Ra, Alif Lam Mim Sad. Some have five, Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad, Ha Mim Ain Sin Qaf. So I was saying that 29 chapters in the Quran, in the beginning of these surahs, Huruful Muqatta'at is mentioned. Now, what is the meaning of Huruful Muqatta'at? What is the translation? What is the tafsir? What is the explanation of Huruful Muqatta'at? What is the meaning of Alif Lam Mim? What is the meaning of Alif Lam Ra? What is the meaning of Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad? What is the meaning of Yasin? What is the meaning of Yasin? One meaning of Huruful Muqatta'at, the scholars have mentioned 16 different interpretations. Obviously, this is not an academic class. I will not go through all these 16 interpretations of Huruful Muqatta'at, but I will go through few which we are able to understand and we can comprehend and come close to the meaning of these huruful muqatta'at. One meaning is that these are the names of those chapters. For example, in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Alif Lam Mim. So this is one of the names of Surah Al-Baqarah, the Surah Alif Lam Mim. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Taha, So in the beginning of Surah Taha, so this is the name of that Surah Taha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Alif Lam Ra, the beginning of Surah Yusuf. This is one of the names of Surah Yusuf. Similarly, Yasin is the name of this surah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has initiated this chapter with Yasin, and this highlights the name of this chapter, Surah Yasin. The second opinion is that these huruful muqatta'at, they are the names of the Quran. Names of Quran. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned that there are 55 names of Quran. And these 55 names have come in the middle, and the huruful muqatta'at are separate. So every huruful muqatta'at at the beginning of different chapters, these are named different names of Quran. So Alif Lam Mim is the name of Quran. Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad, name of the Quran. Yasin is the name of Quran. Taha is the name of Quran. The third interpretation of huruful muqatta'at is that this is an indication towards the different names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you, for example, take Alif Lam Ra, Alif refers to the name of Allah Ahad. Lam refers to the name Latif. Ra refers to the name Ra'uf or Rahman or Rahim. So every letter in these hurufi muqatta'at refers to one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are three interpretations. Number four, by joining these letters, or by joining these hurufi muqatta'at, different hurufi muqatta'at, you will be able to conclude with different names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Alif Lam Ra is one of the huruful muqatta'at. Ha Mim is also huruful muqatta'at. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Noon is also huruful muqatta'at. If you join these three huruful muqatta'at, Alif Lam Ra, Ha Mim, and Noon, this makes Ar-Rahman, which is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these huruf muqatta'at, by joining them, you will form different names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Four, and number five, and this is the last I will mention, and which is the most preferred, that when it comes to the meaning of huruful muqatta'at, the meaning of huruful muqatta'at, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of this. This is why in Tafsir al-Jalalain, both the authors, because this Tafsir al-Jalalain is authored by two Mufassirin, Jalaluddin al-Suyuti and Jalaluddin al-Mahalli. They both have mentioned every time Huruf al-Muqatta'at comes after Huruf al-Muqatta'at, they both say, Allahu A'lamu bi Muradihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of the meaning of Huruf al-Muqatta'at. So Huruf al-Muqatta'at, the meaning of Huruf al-Muqatta'at is Allahu A'lamu bi Muradihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the real interpretation of Huruf al-Muqatta'at. And this is why the great scholars, especially the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Hafidh Imanuddin ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, writes in his famous tafsir, Tafsir ibn Kathir, he says the Khulafa'i Rashidun, the four rightly guided Khulafa, Khalif, meaning Abdulun Nasi Ba'd al-Anbiya, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Dhul Nurayn, Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Ali al-Murtada, Karramallahu wajhahu. All these four Khulafa'i Rashidin were of this opinion that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right knowledge of the meaning of huruful muqatta'at. This is why one group of scholars, they say that there is no reason for us to go and delve in huruful muqatta'at and try to take out the meaning. Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi has authored a book, Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran. In this book, he has mentioned one rule and principle of the Mufassirun, and he says that abhimu ma abham Allah. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept closed and vague and ambiguous, then keep that portion closed and don't try to open it and try to find out the meaning. Because a lot of times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept something closed and he hasn't expressed its meaning, there is a wisdom behind it. And if we try to understand those things with our human intellect, we will end up going astray and move away from the straight path. This is why one should not try to find out the meaning. Even though the things that I mentioned on top, the four interpretations, and there are other interpretations of Huruful Muqatta'at, these ulama, they say that the true interpretation and the meaning of حروف المقطعات belongs to only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only Allah is aware of it. However, to bring close to our understanding, if we try to take out some intricate points and nukat, then this is permissible. And it is permissible, and this will bring a lot of benefits. This will bring a lot of benefits. This is why they came up with a lot of interpretation. Whereas they are all unanimous that the true meaning, these are some interpretation according to a human intellect. It is possible it's true, it's possible it's not true. But the true interpretation of حروف المقطعات is that الله أعلم بمرادهي, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of the meaning of حروف المقطعات. Now the question is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one aware of the true meaning of حروف المقطعات, why did He reveal these حروف المقطعات and made it part of, portion of the Qur'an? If we can understand the meaning, what's the point of it? What's the point of it? Some scholars, they say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also aware of the interpretation of حروف المقطعات. If we take this opinion, then the question doesn't arise, because we can simply say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was something which was secret between Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this happens between two good friends, two close people, between husband and wife, between a father and a child, between a daughter and mother, between a daughter and a father, between two brothers, between two sisters, between brothers and sisters. When you are really close, then you tend to share some secrets with other which other people are not aware of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shared His secret with His beloved Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is why he made it part of the Quran. And I will mention another two reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this and made it part of Quran. But before that, I will mention another few points. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these حروف المقطعات part of the Quran and His glorious book is because it is not, it's not that it does not have any benefit. Because when we recite Alif Lam Mim, even if we don't understand the meaning of Alif Lam Mim, we are still being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, مَنْ قَرَأَ حَرْفًا مِّنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَلَهُ بِهِ عَشَرَةٌ. The person who recites one harf, one letter from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will receive 10 blessings. He will receive a blessing. فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنَةٌ. He will receive one hasana, one good deed. وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. And each good deed will be multiplied by 10. Because this is a principle in the court of Allah, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever brings one good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply that into 10, and it'll give you reward equivalent to 10 good deeds. So if we pray Alif Lam Mim, we will receive 30 reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, لَا أَقُولُ Alif Lam Mim حَرْفٌ وَلَكِنْ أَلِفٌ حَرْفٌ وَلَامٌ حَرْفٌ وَمِيمٌ حَرْفٌ. He says that I'm not referring to the whole word alam. And I'm not saying that full, the alif, lam, meem is one letter. He says that no, alif is one letter, lam is one letter, and meem is one letter. So in conclusion, if we read alif, lam, meem, we will receive 30 rewards. We will receive 30 rewards, one for alif, one for lam, and one for meem. And according to some scholars, they say that if you try to open it even more, then Alif Lam Mim has actually 9 letters. Because Alif, if you write Alif, it's Alif Lam Fa. If you write Lam, it's Lam Alif Mim. If you write Mim, it's Mim Ya Mim. So these are 9 letters. So if you pray Alif Lam Mim, you will receive 90 rewards. 90 nekis and 90 rewards in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one benefit, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a lot of reward for reciting Alif Lam Mim. The second reason is that this is actually a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are not aware of the true meaning of Alif Lam Mim and the other Huruful Muqatta'at. So this is a test for the believers, that do they still believe in this book or not? Because some people have such weak iman that if something their intellect can comprehend and understand, they believe in it. And something which their intellect and mind cannot comprehend and understand, they reject it. And they say that we don't understand it with our human intellect, so we don't consider this to be part of our deen. So this is to test the iman of the believers, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that despite not knowing the meaning of huruful muqatta'at, do they still bring iman on it or not? Do they still consider huruful muqatta'at to be part of Quran and to be part of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Do they still consider huruful muqatta'at to be a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Or do they reject it just on the basis that their human mind is not able to comprehend and understand? So this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed Alif Lam Mim. And some scholars, they say that this is to attract the attention of the disbelievers. Because this was something very unique. Nobody knew the meaning of it. Despite the Arabs being very, very eloquent and linguistically well-grounded, despite that, they were not able to understand the meaning of these hurufi muqatta'at. So to capture their attention, that what is this? Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Ra. To attract their attention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed and placed it in the Quran, these huruful muqatta'at. And the some scholars, they say that just as there are zahiri and outward benefits of reciting Alif Lam Mim, and you are rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each letter, similarly there are a lot of internal and batini fawaid and benefits of reciting these huruful muqatta'at. And the last, the fifth opinion, and this is very, very unique, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason why He has mentioned huruful muqatta'at and made it part of the Quran is to show the i'jaz and the miraculous nature of the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was actually a challenge for the people of Arabia, that because these people, like I said, were very, very expert in the Arabic language, linguistically very, very strong and well-versed, so much so that they used to compete with each other. And those people who used to live outside Arabia, they used to consider them to be ajam. Ajam means the person who cannot speak, dumb person. Because of their lack of fasahad and eloquence, they would consider them to be dumb, people who cannot speak. This is how much pride they had on the Arabic language and their linguistic skills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged them in their expertise, and Allah said to them, that if you think you are expert in the Arabic language, try to understand the meaning of Alif Lam Mim. Try to understand the meaning of Alif Lam Ra. Try to understand the meaning of Kaf, Haya, Ain, Saad. Try to understand the meaning of Taha. Try to understand the meaning of Yasin. And they were not able to do it. And this was the challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them even in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ, O my beloved, say to these people, لَإِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. That if the entire humanity and humankind and the jinn kind get together and they try to come up with a book similar to the Qur'an in fasahat in balagha, they will not be able to do so. They were not able to bring a book like Qur'an. The challenge was there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them. And they, Allah said to them, that forget about bringing a whole book like the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ وَدْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Just bring 10 surahs similar to 10 surahs of the Qur'an. This challenge was there. They could not fulfill this challenge, and they could not come up with 10 chapters and 10 surahs like the 10 surahs of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the challenge even more easier for them. And another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He challenges them by saying that if you have any kind of doubt, in kuntum fi raybim mimma nazzalna ala abdina, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِّثْلِهِ وَدْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah says, forget about bringing the whole book like the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget about bringing 10 chapters like the 10 chapters of the Quran. I will make it easy for you. Just bring one chapter, one surah, similar to the surah that exists in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fakhruddin Razi says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the smallest surah, Suratul Kawthar. That bring one small surah like Surah Al-Kawthar. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adjacent to this verse, he says, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will never be able to bring anything, any chapter, any surah similar to the surah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brother, this is such a challenge which existed in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and 1440 odd years have passed. This challenge is still on. If somebody says that Quran is not the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can bring one chapter, small surah, like the surah of Quran, and he can reject the authenticity of the Quran, and he can say that, look, I have brought a small chapter, which is similar, which is equal in fasahat and balagha to the chapter of the Quran, and people will have to believe him. And this challenge will remain until the day of judgment. Nobody in the past was able to fulfill this challenge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, until the day of judgment, no one will be able to challenge and this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in the time of Ali al-Tantawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great scholar from Egypt, he says that once I was discussing with people who were well versed in the Arabic language, good scholars, we were having a meeting and the topic came up of the fasahat and the balagat, the eloquence of the Quran, and they said that we don't believe that Quran has the highest form of fasahat and balagat. Ali al-Tantawi rahimahullah ta'ala said to these people that, okay, it's so easy, just accept this challenge and perhaps I'll make it easier than this. Quran is saying that bring one chapter, I say that bring one verse similar to the verse of the Quran. Okay, and the challenge is that mention the vastness of Jahannam, that Jahannam is very, very, very big, and it's mentioned the vastness of it. These scholars came up with different sentences. And then Ali al-Tantawi smiled and said to them that now I will mention the verse of the Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the vastness of the Jahannam. And he says, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. That on the day of judgment, we will say to Jahannam that, are you filled? Are you filled? The Jahannam will say that, is there any more people you want to throw inside me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the vastness, that after throwing everyone who are destined for Jahannam, Jahannam will still have space that would remain. When Ali al-Tantawi said this, all these scholars were astonished and they were shocked to see the fasahat and balagat of the Quran. So the huruful muqatta'at is also one of the thing which is related to the miraculous nature of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is to break the pride of those people who think that they have a lot of knowledge. If you think you have a lot of knowledge, Allah says, open the Quran. Open the Quran. The first verse of Suratul Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, will tell you that you have no knowledge whatsoever. You cannot even understand this small verse, Alif Lam Mim. How can you have pride over your ilm and your knowledge? So there are so many benefits of mentioning alif these huruful muqatta'at. So this is the most preferred opinion. The Yasin is also from amongst these huruful muqatta'at, which is mentioned, like I said, in the beginning of 29 chapters of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the correct understanding of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect us with his book in every way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to recite as much as possible and try to understand as much as possible. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to practice as much as possible and convey to the masses so they can also understand and practice upon this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, the schedule in the month of Ramadan will be announced later, inshallah, because it's possible the schedule changes, so the dars might not take place every Saturday. Inshallah, it will be posted on the IST website, whatever the schedule is, inshallah al-Aziz. Everyone is requested to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the blessed month of Ramadan truly blessed for all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to truly benefit from this month. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.